listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone. As always, we have a wonderful show for you today. I'm going to be talking to a very informative, intelligent, and exciting author. Her book's a really good read, but it's also applicable to real life and what's happening in our lives and how we can overcome things going on, and really what's going on. And also a little bit later today, I'm going to get to some of your questions regarding what's going on in society with a lot of these mass murders, with a lot of these people who are snapping. What is going on in the world anyway? And I will answer some of your emails. I also encourage you, if you would like to call in and if you have a question, the number here, 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Or if you'd like to email me, you're a little shy, you don't like to get your voice on the air, you can do so. Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Doc Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. We always talk about psychological issues. We always talk about how to make yourself better, how to get through the rough bumps in life, how to function well, how to feel better. And my guest today has a great, I think it's a novel. It's a nice thick book. I went, whoa, this is a good read. It's called The Keeper of the Diary, and it's written by Judith Diana Winston. She's a visionary artist, writer, spiritual life mentor. And she spent almost 10 years experiencing, photographing, traveling to many of the Earth's most ancient and mysterious sacred stone sites. And she's also committed to helping clients clarify their lives so they can find fulfillment as they move forward on their path in life in her private practice. She uses talk therapy, which is great, guided imagery, muscle testing, movement therapies, and, you know, she's all around a helpful person in life to others and an inspiration. This is a fictional book, but it also applies to her life, and we're going to be talking about just how it does. So let's get going here. Hey, Diana, it's nice to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle. It's my pleasure.
What an undertaking, man. Your book, The Keeper of the Diary. What a novel. that must have been a real a feat for you. I mean, you're a really good writer. You got some great things going on here.
Thank you so much. Yes, it was. And it was one of those things that I actually didn't even imagine I would ever write a novel.
Yeah.
I have another meditation book out, but This story began to pull on me, and I wrote it, and then rewrote it, and then kept writing it.
Sure.
So, yes, grew to 500 pages.
Wow. Well, it's a multidimensional story that challenges and expands one's perception of reality. And what I like about it is, you know, no one kind of appears to be what they seem to be. You know, it's sort of a mystical tale, and it's about this character named Cassie's journey of adventure. And we're going to tell listeners a little bit why we chose this book, because it has to do with their lives and finding their truth as well. So if you could give us just kind of a short synopsis of what your book is about, that would be terrific.
Okay. Well, the short version, as you said, is about this woman photographer, which I'm also a photographer, so there was some bleed-throughs, she's actually a fashion photographer, but some circumstances come up in her life, and she ends up taking an assignment in Egypt.
Hmm.
And, yeah, a place, I have to say, that for this character was not on her roadmap. She was somebody pretty involved in her day-to-day world, and wasn't that interested in mystical or spiritual things.
Hmm.
But she takes this job and ends up finding a diary. Rather, a diary sort of mysteriously lands in her camera case.
Mm-hmm.
And the contents of the diary actually go all the way back to Atlantis.
Mm.
And it reveals a hidden history of mankind and planet Earth.
Mm.
And it shows how what we'll call dark forces mm-hmm. created the fall of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And how that story impacts our current situation. And this puts, she finds this. She doesn't know what to do with it. She doesn't really, at first, she just wants to give it back, but she can't figure out exactly where it came from.
Right.
And when she does, she can't find the person.
Hmm.
So she finds herself sort of stuck with this diary, but starts to read it and becomes more and more pulled into the story.
Hmm.
So she ends up reading it while this group that she's taking photographs for, this job of hers,
yes.
is traveling through Egypt, Jordan, Israel, and Greece.
Mm.
So she's very impacted by the places that she's going, and in some ways it ties in with this very strange but very compelling story that she's reading in the diary. And when the trip ends, she is so involved in the story that she doesn't know what to do with it.
Huh.
So she can't find somebody to give it back to, so
right.
she ends up taking it back. She lives in L.A. She ends up taking it back with her.
Yes.
And as she comes back and she feels that many things in her life have changed just from her experiences on her journey and from the experience reading the diary, that she becomes obsessed with finding the diary's owner.
Hmm.
And there she starts on this journey that takes her to all these sacred sites that I actually went to.
Really?
And, yeah, and gets her involved in this whole story that she's determined to return the diary and find out the truth.
Yes.
But as she's doing so, she discovers some things about her own identity, about humanity's extraterrestrial connection,
hmm.
and the possibility of a love story transcending the vast reaches of time.
Hmm.
So she is completely changed by this book, by this diary. She finds that she's one person, and without going into, because I don't want to ruin the story for anyone.
Don't spoil the end now, Diana.
So there is a very fast-paced ending to the book, which I won't tell.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly, I think what your readers will be fascinated by is her journey.
Yes.
And the changes and shifts and things that happen to her along the way that take her from being one kind of person mm-hmm. to a completely different kind of person.
That's cool. You know, there are a lot of books and authors who I have interviewed on the show, and I always suggest book clubs to read certain books. And this is definitely, this is a good one for book clubs, because you can talk about history, and there are facts in here, of course, of history. But there's a lot of wonderful imagination that you weave, too, with this character and her findings.
There is so much. No. This is such a rich book for discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I could be doing a two-hour show and still not.
That's so true. It's really true. You know, everybody always has a motive and a push and a reason and anything that would inspire them in their life to write. So what events or people occurred in your life, Diana, that really inspired you to write your book, The Keeper of the Diary?
Well, specifically, I took two trips to Egypt in very close proximity to each other, and I traveled there with a man who was a trance medium and a psychic. And some of the things that we would go around to these different sites, we had a young Egyptian guide who would tell us the normal, regular history that's in the history books about the different sites.
Right.
And we would all listen, and then this man would pull us over to the side, and he'd go, well, now if you want to know the real story. So we got a very in-depth picture of Egypt. But not only of Egypt, he talked about some of the other sacred sites around the world and what they have in connection to each other, and about the energy of the places, which we all began to experience on, on that trip, for sure. Even people who had never thought they were sensitive to energy began to have experiences.
Really?
Because it's that kind of place.
Right, right.
And so when I came back from that trip, and also there was a person that this gentleman who led the trip spoke about, and I became fascinated by his story, and he became a character in my book, even though I didn't continue to find out too much about him, because I wanted him to be a part of my story, not tell his story. But I call him David in the book, and many of the things that I talk about in the book that are David's story, he's actually the person who is the keeper of the diary. He writes the diary. In the beginning of the book, he's found in the desert suffering from amnesia in the Egyptian desert. And he keeps this diary to try and remember who he is. And that's, we go into past lives and back to Atlantis. So it was
interesting.
It was really Egypt, the spiritual teacher that I was with, and also this man's story, this young man's story, who I call David, that I became fascinated by. And I think there was always something in me that was such a student of life that it was almost like it was waiting for the right trigger so that I could share some of the things that I had experienced and thought about. Well, that's it.
Well, that's a lot. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, author Judith Diana Winston. Her book is called The Keeper of the Diary, and it's an adventure. It's I won't even tell you because it's really a surprise. It's a really good book, but it is an adventure about a young woman who travels and finds this diary which holds secrets to mankind and information about the sunken city of Atlantis, the ancient city. You know, you mentioned, Diana, that this story impacts our current situation. Right? And how it applies to mankind. What do you mean by that? What's our current situation?
Well, the way that I see things, I think we're at a very big crossroads. And I know that that's causing a lot of people a lot of distress, because it mostly feels like chaos. And like the things that we've all thought we understood about life, the rules are changing. However, I really believe this is something very positive. I think we've sort of reached a place where the general way we've been doing life clearly isn't working. I mean, we're having weather changes, where so many of our cities are so clogged with cars that they've become unlivable, you know, and we spend so much time in our cars. But basically, I think it's about, one of the main themes in the book, probably the biggest theme, is the idea of choice.
Yes.
And most of us so much feel at the effect of the things that are going on in our lives that we don't realize that we actually do have a choice in how we respond, rather than react. So one of the things in the book, as you follow Cassie, I mean, she's presented with problems, situations, choices, that are beyond, you know, they're really life and death kinds of things. And she learns through different people that she meets, and also as she begins to understand certain things, some of which I don't want to tell your readers because I don't want to ruin the story. But she begins to realize that she does have a choice, and that the basic choice is always only between two things. It's between love and fear. And so she realizes at a certain point that every time she lets the fear, like, stop her from doing anything or make a choice that's smaller than who she really is, she's feeding the forces of darkness. And that it's a choice. And how that comes to our world today, it's like, what do we want our world to be? Up to us. You know? It really is. And so many of us think that, well, what can I do? I'm only one person. You know, I might make little changes or do something like recycling, and what does it really matter? But, you know, we're energy beings. We know this from science. We know that we have an aura. We know that we're energy.
Yes.
So every choice, and we're all connected.
Yes, we are.
And that's another really big theme in the book, is this idea of the interconnection of all life.
Well, that's physics.
So,
yeah.
I would like to propose to your readers, mm-hmm. I mean to your readers, my readers, hopefully, and your listeners,
yeah.
that every little choice we make actually matters.
Mm.
That's big.
Yes.
That's
yes.
very big.
Well, it is. And I think, you know, it's about, in psychology, of course, we call it being mindful of our thoughts and behaviors and how it affects others. And trying to keep positive through negative things going on in our lives and stuff. And, you know, you talk about the forces of darkness, ignorance, fear, and separation that kind of threaten humanity today. So what you're talking about basically is the idea of fear and how, I mean, truly, physiologically and scientifically, the more we fear, the more we pass it on to others. The media propagates fear. We hear evil things going on, of course, mass murderers, you know, everything, wars, hatred, greed, you know, everything. And climate change is now. We have so many things going on, institutions crumbling, oil prices going up, and everybody sort of seems to be scrambling. There's like a fear mentality. So what you're saying is try to recognize this, or as you call them, the forces of darkness and ignorance, and try to make a change. And how do we make these changes? What are some of the important warnings that you share in your
very
book?
Specifically, it's like taking, I mean, some people are meditators, but you don't have to be, but taking some time every day to sort of make a little review of what's gone on during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, because some of the choices that we make, they seem so small. And they seem like, oh, this can't possibly really affect anybody. But when you think of things as energy and that we're all one big collective energy, really,
yeah.
and that everything we think goes into that field, then you begin to see that the littlest, tiniest thoughts, the littlest things, it's like you said, being mindful
mm-hmm.
and taking a choice rather than acting automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we're having a possibility of the human race right now that maybe has never happened before. I think we're on the cutting edge of evolution, and that evolution is made one choice at a time.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. So are you saying also that it's choice? It's personally, it's within
individual,
the individual.
Very
yes.
small, little choices that we think don't. It's watching our own inside,
yes.
even if we don't do something out there, but if we're holding a state of fear,
mm-hmm.
going in and seeing, we don't have to be fearful. A lot of that is just programming.
Yes.
And if there's really bad news happening, don't watch your TV.
Right. Well, no, it's true, because it, you know, fear escalates.
Right. And unfortunately, at this point, and I think things are changing, and there's a lot of internet shows and things
mm-hmm.
that are now telling the good news
mm-hmm.
or what we can do that would be positive. And I think it's the old way,
mm-hmm.
You know, we could call it the old paradigm
mm-hmm.
that is continuously blasting us with negative stuff.
Right.
And there's really some very good things going on. And I think things have to a certain degree, fall apart before they can come back together in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about things that way, it's very helpful to us, because then it takes us these things that seem, oh my gosh, I'm losing this, I'm losing that.
Right.
Rather
right.
than rethinking and re-looking at what is really important in my life, and
mm-hmm.
some of the things that I'm being so stressed about, are they that important?
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. You know, we have to go within and question ourselves, what is really important? You know?
Exactly. And Cassie, as you follow her on this journey, and she's presented with some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And she begins to understand that, first of all, the more she makes choices out of fear, the more sort of fearful things come to her.
Mm-hmm.
And the more she's able to go, no, she's able to step into her that inner strength
mm-hmm.
that we all have and
yes.
say, I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to take the risk of doing something, you know, that maybe I am a little afraid of doing it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to take the risk and go ahead and do it.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
And that's why she's a heroine, and we all
yeah.
want to be heroes in our lives.
Boy, we do. It's another point. Where are all the heroes anyway? What's
well,
up with that,
they're
Diana?
Here. We're here. We're just sleeping a little bit.
That's right. We're in a little bit of a hypnotic state. We need to wake up.
Exactly. I mean, all of our lives can be the hero's journey.
Yes.
You know, we just need to look at it that way.
Yes.
I remember the book, I think it's David Copperfield. Mm. The first lines in the book start out, whether or not I will turn out to be the hero of my own life or just a player in it, these pages will surely tell.
Boy, is that true. It really is. By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is author Judith Diana Winston. The book is called The Keeper of the Diary, and it's a fictional novel, but I mean, it is wonderful the way it rolls out, and it's an exciting and intriguing story about a young woman named Cassie, who is a photographer who travels and learns many secrets about mankind and the world. And that's as much as I'm going to tell you, and the ending's really exciting, too. So it's a great book if you have book clubs out there and you want to discuss, you know, something that's really thought-provoking. This is the great way to do it. Now, you were talking, Judith, about Diana. Judith Diana.
Okay.
You were talking.
Doesn't matter.
You were talking a lot about, you know, how we have to sort of get out of that fear and become heroes, sort of like Cassie did, and change our thinking. You mentioned in the book also that there's a helping hand from what you call the Great Brotherhood of Light. Now, why do these folks surface in your book to help us, and who do you think they are in our current existence?
Okay, well, I'll tackle the first question first. Why they're surfacing now, we go back to what I said before. I believe this is a very important time in human history. I mean, okay, we passed December 21st, 2012, and seemingly nothing happened. But I think that date was marked off by so many native cultures who were in touch with the earth and the cycles of time. And it's no mistake that it got trumped up in some negative ways, but it's no mistake that our attention was drawn to it because this is such an important time, and I believe and put forth in the story that there's legends throughout all kinds of history about a secret brotherhood of light, and that can be looked at many different ways. It can be looked at as specific individuals who maybe are carrying a lineage that have chosen to be here to kind of anchor light on the planet. Mm. And by light, we mean positive energy, the things that would hold the space for us to make those growth choices that I spoke about. And without giving too much away, I really believe, and this comes out in the story, and I have had certain personal experiences that lead me to this,
yes,
that we are, our origin is in the stars. Mm. So we do have an extraterrestrial connection. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of people who have channeled extraterrestrial information, whether they've known it or not. And extraterrestrial, we come up with this very weird picture of like little green beings.
Right.
Or
right.
I would like to suggest that there is more to it than that, and that there is a, whether maybe these forces of darkness, there's also really forces of light. And all of that is here to help assist us because we're the only ones that can make the change happen. Mm-hmm. You know, if we all decide to forget it, well, then things will just continue to fall apart. But by deciding, okay, I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to be the hero in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I do that? Looking around actually for ways to pay it forward.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
What can I do? What can I do in my work situation, my home situation? They can be very small things.
Right.
But as mentioned before, yeah, when we're holding a certain energy, mm-hmm, we broadcast that energy. Mm-hmm. And if that energy is love, it's almost impossible to ignore.
Boy, is that true. I really agree. And, you know, I do have a lot of listeners and callers who say, oh, what are you talking about with this alien stuff? You know, the government's proven there's no alien. As a person, a reasonable person who is educated, I have had a phenomenal viewing of what we may call a UFO. Never had any craft that I've seen in the air move, never shape. I don't think it was an experimental. It was way too high, but I got a great view of it. And there's something going on because I've seen it. And I'm not cuckoo. I mean, some people would
say. And neither am I. We're both college educated.
That's right.
We're both people who know how to function in the world.
Yes.
And I want to say that there is a lot of material, if any of your listeners really are curious. Mm-hmm. There's more and more material that's being let out that our government does know and has had connections.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go into really that part of the...
No, I don't either.
But I just want to say that things are not as they appear to be, and it's a good thing.
Well, you know, it might be, because, I mean, how do we know? I mean, just because civilization may be able to pass through a wormhole doesn't mean that they have loving thoughts towards the little ants that are trying to survive on the big... the big blue planet here. You know, we don't know. We don't know.
Well, yes, and I would propose that any place there's darkness, there's also light.
Well,
so if we have been, there are two sides of the coin. Mm-hmm. There are two sides of us, and that's where our choice comes in.
Yes.
So if we want to say there may have been extraterrestrials that throughout history, and we're going way back in time to where human origins and things like that, there may have been those who were not on our side.
Mm-hmm.
I would propose that there are those who are on our side.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
And that's what we're seeing a lot of right now because there's a concern. Our planet is very out of balance. And why is it out of balance? It's out of balance because we're out of balance inside of us. You're all, you know, it's the micro and the macro, the big and the little.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Oh.
There's a lot of stuff going on that we have no idea about, and a lot of it is science. If you of course, read one of the most basic physicists and astronomers, of course, Carl Sagan. You know, he talked about the very, very easy to recognize that there are other civilizations out there because of the billions and billions of stars that, you know, have environments around them of planets that can, of course, sustain life. So let's not get off on that. Let's get back to your
Point. We could go
you,
there.
You
that's
and I
whole
are
other
there.
Show.
You know, that's,
I think what we really want to talk about is the idea that there are, you asked about the Great White Brotherhood of Light.
Mm-hmm.
Different of your readers may have read different materials about that. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stories.
Mm-hmm.
And the story that I propose is that there have been those since the beginning of human time who have chosen to carry a lineage and to pass that lineage down. And and it's those who walk amongst us, who look exactly like us, but are holding an energy for us. And I think it's important to know that we're not alone because we feel small. And it's important to know that there is something larger that is holding the light, that is anchoring the light, so that make our job just a little bit easier.
Yeah, that's so true. It's so
and that's
true.
A good thing to meditate on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes,
to spend that time in meditation, to go into that place of like, okay, allow myself to really feel supported.
Yes,
and of course, you know, I don't want to go into religious things, but wherever we can find that place where we feel supported, it's really important now.
Boy,
because we're the generation of generations.
Yes, we are.
We're the ones.
Yeah, we are. And
I think it was Jean Houston, who's a wonderful, you know, writer and speaker, who said, if not us, then who? If not now, then when?
Right. Well, and it has been going on in a lot of ancient writings and information. Of course, we find that it has been going on a long time, but we're actually talking about it and able to recognize, you know, what's going on right now. There is also in psychology, a lot of people say, oh, meditation is, you know, going to a sacred place and home and focusing. And it's so hard, but it's very simple. And it's actually clearing the chaos in your mind about all the fears. And it's about just sort of going within and focusing on one concept. And that's what you're talking about, Diana, is the concept of calming.
It's time to step away from our day-to-day business so we can see, mm-hmm. we can really see how our mind works. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our mind is not our friend.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. Like you said, those fears take over. Your book, The Keeper of the Diary, it offers some really cool beliefs in our potential as human beings. So can you share some of the highlights that really can give readers hope about our humanity?
Well, what it proposes, again, is how powerful our thoughts are. Mm. And I think that's one of the sort of clear things that I can't emphasize strongly enough, and why I think it's such a good read for people, because Cassie starts out as this doubter, this person who is just interested in making her way in life and right. having her career work and having a boyfriend, you know, the things sure. that are just very much the everyday things. And she only takes this assignment because she needs the money. She isn't even curious about Egypt. So, but as she progresses through the book and begins to learn how, well, begins to see that there's been a whole history of the human race mm-hmm. and that what caused the fall of Atlantis are exactly the same things that are up right now.
Yes.
You know, it's like, are we going to let, you know, sort of the big corporations or wherever, however we want to formulate that, mm-hmm. are we going to just be sheep? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to take back our power? It always comes back to that. Mm-hmm. And really, it was the Atlantean people who gave up their stake in things right. and just, you know, were lulled by those who said, don't worry, we'll take care of you. You don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're all here for a reason.
Yes.
And Cassie begins to understand what her purpose, what her reason is, mm-hmm. And her destiny. But I think we are all here for a reason. It's not a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, there were no errors made. Mm. And especially that those of us who are here right now, mm-hmm. I think that is, I just keep coming back to that, mm-hmm. because it's such a terrific opportunity, personally yes. and collectively.
Yes.
And there's so much going on that's positive. You know, people
it
just
is.
Need to decide that's what they want to learn about. I mean,
yes.
There's the shift movement
yes.
that are offering all these wonderful spiritual teachers doing free things on the internet that are very inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Some things with Jean Houston, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. and Barbara Marx Hubbard.
Right.
It's again, it comes back to what she learned
mm-hmm.
is, it's about the interconnection of all life.
It really
and I
is.
Think that's something we can talk about quickly.
Sure.
But it really is important. I mean,
yeah,
I'm
really
sure
is.
Some of your listeners enjoyed watching the movie Avatar.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Where that was so clearly, mm-hmm. where you see that they plugged into
yes,
the,
they did.
Their braids plugged into the animals. We're connected.
Yes, we are.
And it's important. Mm-hmm. And it's important.
Mm-hmm. And we're all connected. And do you think, Diana, a lot of the stories we hear, and you said at the beginning of the show, just try not to watch the news sometimes. But all we hear about, and, you know, that's the way news is. I mean, we report what's going on. But all we hear about are, you know, shootings, just like this fellow they're looking for, the ex-cop Christopher Dorner right now. And the mass shooters, the Adam Lanzas and the other guy who, you know, went into the theater and shot up everybody. I mean, there's so much going on that's negative.
Let me put it this way.
How do we protect ourselves from this?
What's that?
How do we protect ourselves from this?
Well, here's a great story that a spiritual teacher once told me. He said he was talking about an earthquake that had happened in San Francisco, I think it was in the early or the late 80s.
Yeah.
And he told the story of this woman in an apartment, and she heard all this noise, and she looked out, and half of the apartment building had completely collapsed.
Oh, my gosh.
Her half hadn't.
Mm.
Why? Because if it's not meant for you, and again, we attract things by our energy. You know, I'm not saying that the people in the theater were bad or anything like that.
No.
But if it's I think worrying about it is the absolute worst thing to do. Mm-hmm. That's when I say turn off your TV. Mm-hmm. Because for every one of those people who are doing these horrible things, there are 50 people who are doing incredibly good and positive things.
Yes.
But they don't put that on the news because it doesn't get ratings.
That's
you know,
right.
It isn't phenomenal.
Yes.
So we have to really unhook from that culture, which I believe is on its way out, mm-hmm. to this new culture, which is one of being connected, helping one another, coming together. I think that's one of the really good things about the difficult things that are happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's forcing us to come together in communities with our family to support one another because maybe the money isn't there that used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, looking at what's really important, not what we've been programmed by commercials. And, I mean, we don't, I think it's really giving ourselves the possibility of understanding that a lot of the things that we think are really important aren't.
Yes.
And we've been sold down the river.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It is so true.
So I think it's just, really, it's not focusing on those things, you know. It's say a little prayer for the people who are affected because that's so sad and awful. But don't linger there.
Mm-hmm.
Move on to something positive, to something that you can do that's positive, small or big. It doesn't matter.
That is a really beautiful way to sum it up. How can people get a hold of your book and find out more about you, Diana?
Well, the website is called The Keeper of the Diary Book.
Mm-hmm.
.com. So they can do that. The book is also on Amazon. And if anybody has any questions, they can write me through on the website. It's thekeeperofthediary@gmail.com.
Great. Great. Really, what a great book. Really intriguing. Wonderful for book clubs. People who like mysteries and intriguing stories, this is a great one. It's called The Keeper of the Diary. And thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been really fun talking with you, and you have such great information for listeners. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Michelle. My pleasure. My pleasure. It's been a treat for me.
Well, it's been a treat for us, too. And if anybody would like to get in touch with you, I'm going to go ahead and post that information on the archive tomorrow. It'll be up and available for anybody who wants to buy the book or get in touch with you as well. So keep up the great work, and we look forward to your next book.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right. Again, my special guest, Judith Diana Winston, author of The Keeper of the Diary. Really intriguing. A lot of events covered in humanity along the way, the long history, and of course, and also information about our future. The book offers both an important warning for mankind and an intense belief in our potential. Speaking about which, intense beliefs. You know, I've been receiving some emails, and I wanted to get to these briefly from some listeners, because as a psychologist, I like that. I guess I am a logist. As a psychologist and personality profiler, you know, I think a lot about people's personalities and the motivations and why they do things, and we read stories and we get information. A lot of folks have been asking me what's happening in our society, just like Judith and I were talking about. Why so many people are going on killing rampages. And of course, the latest in the news is the shooting suspect, ex-cop Christopher Dorner. Right now, he's accused of shooting police officers, their families, and others who he perceives were involved in his dismissal. You know, there's this manhunt going on right now for him. So it's kind of a scary thing, as you know. So several of my listeners have emailed me saying, why do people just snap? What happens? What's going on? You know, so when somebody breaks down emotionally, it may seem like, you know, they just snapped all of a sudden. And I want to say that the reality of the situation is that most likely there were certain life stresses and strains which come to bear on people for some time. It's like tapping, tapping, tapping at plaster, tapping, tapping, years. And then all of a sudden, there's a breakdown, there's a major crack. And over time, defeats and losses and consistent stress can wear on us all. Some individuals have higher coping skills. We can buck up. We can shove it. We can talk about it and let it be gone. Sometimes, however, our psyche says, enough! Can't deal with it anymore! So our ability to think rationally about how to function in society is lost. Sometimes by that so-called last straw. This is what I read about, and this is what I see. You know, so I was reading some of the tweets from folks who've given their opinions on this ex-cop, Christopher Dorner. And one that really disturbed me said, ready? God bless you, Chris Dorner. I believe in what goes around comes around. The LAPD is crooked. What? Come on. There was a lot of people saying, oh, he's a hero. It really bothers me that some folks think of Dorner as kind of an epic anti-hero waging war against an institution that they see as corrupt. There'll always be corruption. Businesses, public service jobs. But this guy is a murderer. He's lost his ability to know between right and wrong. Okay? He has snapped. All right? There's a tweet that was also printed out on CNN, and it says, the manifesto speaks for itself as evidence of a depraved and abandoned mind and heart. Indeed. That's called snapping. So I think that's what's going on here. We have a caller here on LA Talk Radio. Hi, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Who's this?
Hi, doctor. This is Jack. And you were just talking about the Christopher Dorner situation.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating because I'd like to know what the difference is between this person, Christopher Dorner, mm-hmm. and the other killings going on, the Connecticut school mm-hmm. shooter, mm-hmm. and the guy who went into that Batman movie and killed all those people. What's the difference? Hmm. Why is one person doing one thing and these other people doing other things?
Jack, that's a great question. I can't diagnose these people because I haven't sat with them and asked them questions and looked in their eyes. I can only assess what's going on by their behaviors, especially the ex-cop, Christopher Dorner. You know, he, in his manifesto, ranted and raved. I mean, this thing, I don't know if you've... Have you seen this thing yet that's been printed?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pages and pages and pages. It's almost like what we call... I don't know. It's like almost like a manic rambling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he has or has had any earlier diagnosis of a manic behavior or circumstantial speech, as we call it, irrational behaviors. I mean, he was in the police department for years, and I think this is a case of a guy who snapped. Doesn't it seem like that to you? I mean, he actually snapped. And what happened is, in his manifesto, he says something about, LAPD... has cost me my law enforcement career, and they cost him his naval career. Apparently, I guess last Friday, he had an honorable discharge, but he was discharged from the U.S. Navy Reserves. And he was in there for like 10 years. So this is a huge part of his identity of who he is, right?
Sure, sure.
Being a police officer, being a public servant, being in the Navy.
Being a soldier.
A soldier. This was a huge identity. Now, I am not supporting this guy. I'm not supporting anything that he's done because he's a murderer, right?
Yes, he is.
So the difference is...
He's accused of being a murderer.
Well, excuse me. I forgot to use the allegedly murdered. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Well, he's already said who he's going to kill, so... and a couple of the folks have already gotten it, so I'm sort of assuming. But maybe I shouldn't do that because I am... in broadcasting. So the people who he allegedly murdered, not okay. He's not a hero. You know, this is not an eye for an eye. They didn't kill him. He's murdering other people. You know, I was also reading there was a forensic psychologist, Dr. Askins, I believe he was in that ABC News interview yesterday. And he said, now you asked me about what's the difference between Dorner and these other guys.
Yes.
Well, this forensic psychologist, Dr. Askins, he said he doesn't believe Dorner's insane. He says he knows what he's doing. He is grandiose and may have a personality disorder. Okay? Even though...
Should we allow him to get off? I mean, should he, once he's caught, if he's caught, should we allow him to be taken to an insane asylum or to a hospital? Or should he, you know, receive the death penalty?
Well, that's a great question, too, and I should put that up for listeners to email me, because I have no idea. But, I mean, if he is caught, I have a feeling, and this is terrible, and I don't even want to put this energy out there, but he's in a mindset to where he would not get caught. He would most likely, I don't know, I'm not even going to say it, but I don't think he's going to allow anyone, if he is cornered or caught, I don't think he's going to live to be able to stand up to being put anywhere.
Right.
His defense would be insanity, of course, because he snapped. I mean, it's not a normal thing to do that. Now, the thing about Adam Lanza, the guy who gunned down 20 children and the 6 staff members in Connecticut, you know, some of the relatives were saying he had a form of autism. Don't put autism in this category. I feel he had much more than that. I don't know what he was doing, but I mean, there's psychosis going on there. There's voices. Probably. He was insane. You know, he probably had a voice in him telling him that it was his mission to kill these people or something, as many mass murderers do. And James Holmes, the guy that was in the premiere and killed all those people in the Dark Knight Rises theater. Right. Oh, this was pre-planned. He methodically set up traps in his apartment, of course. And, you know, he had psychosis and paranoia. He probably had voices. He followed the teachings of this Norwegian mass killer, too. If you read into his history, Anders Breivik, I believe, is what his name is. So this guy was a clever as a fox. You don't have to be having mental, impairments in your mental capability to be a psychotic killer. Some of these guys are very smart and methodical. So what's the difference? I don't know. I have a feeling that this Christopher Dorner snapped because he was able to get into the police department. His personality profile was okay back then because he was a longtime soldier in the Navy. I think he just snapped. And, of course, that causes a huge derangement in our judgment. But these other guys, I have a feeling, were psychotic. But that's my feeling, to answer your question, Jack. Did I give you information to help you out?
Well, it's a fascinating subject.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you, Doctor.
Sure.
And Thanks, Dr. Michelle.
Oh, you're welcome. Let me just clarify, too, that I cannot diagnose people. I cannot. I can only give speculation as to what I see and hear, and also, you know, from other specialists, like the forensic psychologist, you know, Dr. Askins, who was on ABC, who says he knew what he was doing and he probably has a personality disorder. What that disorder is, I don't know. But anyway, thank you so much for calling in today. I sure appreciate it.
I love your show. Oh, love your show.
Thank you so much. And take good care. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right. Hey, it's about that time. We gotta go. Thank you guys so much for emailing me. And asking these questions, and also for calling in, everybody. I sure appreciate that. That's terrific. Listen, the show will be up and available to listen to, replay, download, whatever, tomorrow late, right here on LA Talk Radio, Channel 1, on the couch with Dr. Michelle. All right, next week we have more great information. We're going to find out more about what is going on in society, the mindset of people who think that they deserve, who think that they need to take care of the bad guys and maybe want to kill others. Kind of scary subjects. And I don't mean to focus on it because that provokes more fear. But interesting information from specialists all through the month. All right, have a great weekend. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, because then you'll be great for other people. This is Dr. Michelle. Have a great one. Bye-bye now.
seeing flashing reds the coming night.